Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on a new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is just a study in these two verses. Actually, the first verse is just so we can get to the second verse. Since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices, a lot of people haven't yet. I was working today, and this guy who comes to the store periodically, he said, I got a question, and it's a serious one. And he asked me a question about, if you're dead, do you just lay in the ground, or what happens to you? He says, what do you think? And I said, okay. And I went right down. I said, it's a little technical, but when you die, your spirit, soul goes to heaven, cause to be absent from the body and present. And I just went through all this stuff back and forth, and I kept explaining it to him, and I said, do you want to go in more detail? And he's like, I said, well, here's something else. And finally he goes, I got baptized back in 2004, 10 or something. And I said, oh, really? So you're a believer. Well, I was baptized. And I said, you know, all you did was get wet. And he's like, I said, it doesn't matter if you get wet. And I said, it doesn't matter what church you go to. It says, believe and be baptized. If you skip that believe and you're baptized, you just got wet. But if you believe, then you should get baptized and we can talk about this stuff. And he stood there and listened to all this kind of, you know, all this information. And he goes, this is interesting. And, you know, he doesn't go to church. He says, I used to go to church like everybody else. I used to go to church, but there's no reason why you can't go out there in the pasture and go out in the woods and have church. I said, there's no reason you can't go out in the woods and talk to God, but you can't have church by yourself. And I said, the Bible says, two or more are gathered in His name, there He's in the midst. So unless you drag somebody with you, you're not having church, you're just talking to God, which is okay. But even at that, do you actually talk to God when you get out in those woods? And he goes, no, not really. And I said, well, going out in the woods ain't no good then, is it? You have to go someplace where there's two. Well, I think we could go out in a pasture and meet out there and it would be just as good as a church. And I said, you're right. If you got two or more people and you want a pastor in the pasture, that's all right until it rains. Then I would want to go someplace where there was shelter. And he goes, well, rain wouldn't hurt you. And I said, I don't believe in sprinkling, brother. But, yeah. Well, it did rock him back because he was like, oh, you've got to believe on the sacrifice of Christ or all you did was get wet. And you could see his little wheels were turning inside. And especially, I said, I've met out in the woods with more than one people, personages, and we've had church as, and that's what they wanted to do, is have church in the woods. So we did it for 6 months or so. Wasn't well attended, but we did it. And that's not a brag. It was just, you can do this, but you need to know what you're talking about before you start doing this. And a lot of people, I don't think he's really taken very many steps forward in his belief, but it says, we've laid aside the old man, and that's where it's at. We laid aside the old man with its practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who saved them. We are being renewed, and that word is, in the Greek, it means it's repeated over and over and over again. But it's not stuck on a record where we're doing the same thing over again. We're supposed to be being renewed, which shows continual progression forward. So it's like this. We have put on the new self, which is progressively moving forward to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created them. So there has to be progression in this, or you're just stuck. There's always that, when you read the Old Testament, them coming out of the land of Egypt, they got stuck like a record, because you'll find out a lot of times they were just going around the same mountain again and again, and every time they would make a mistake, they'd make another lap around that mountain. I mean, it was quite a ways around, and I mean, distance-wise, but they were still just going back around the same mountain. And you've got to make progression forward, or you'll just end up going in a big circle around the same mountain. So we have put on the new self, who is being progressively coming to a completeness, progressively coming to a completeness. And then the next part of that says, to a true knowledge according to the image of Christ, or according to the image of the one who created them. The knowledge is more than just facts and figures, like we've said before, but it is an accurate understanding. So we read it this way, and have put on a new self who is progressing toward that completion of an accurate understanding of the one who created us. So we are moving forward, and as we know him, we are becoming more like him. It's according to the one who created us, which brings us back to Adam and Eve. Back in Genesis, in the beginning, God did all that, and then he created Adam and Eve. And he made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then he blew into him the breath of life. Yeah, that was pretty good for one afternoon's work. And he made Adam from the outside, and then blew into him the life. There is a difference between us and Adam. The old guy was made from dirt to the breath of life, and then he was given this test. We, on the other hand, are still in that image when we start off, but now he is creating us from the inside outward. We are to be being conformed to the image of God, or the one who created the new creature. He's not referring here to the old creature or the old creation, but according to the image of the one who created him, and it's referring back to the new self. We are to be coming into the image of one who created the new self, which, granted, I'll say it is God or Jesus Christ, but we are to be coming to that image of just like Jesus. We are being made from the inside, and then we are coming, he is going to eventually, instead of breathing into us the spirit of life, you know, make a body, breathe into it life, he is creating within us. He's already put the new spirit within us, and he's molding us into that knowledge of the guy who created us, into his image, and we should be progressing forward. Adam and Eve, and I've got to cut them some slack, which I usually don't, but Adam and Eve made in an afternoon, and God doesn't do shoddy work, but they had no point of reference. They were made, they popped up, they start talking, God's hanging out with them, the devil tempts them, and he says, this is the knowledge of good and evil. Evil. What is evil? They have never experienced evil. They have never seen evil. They didn't know what evil was, so they didn't have a reference point. After they took that bite, boom, they understood what evil was. We, on the other hand, we come into the world, we grow up, and we do know good from evil. I've probably told you guys this before, but years and years and years and years ago, it was late one night, and God woke me up and he said, you call so-and-so and you tell him this. You know the difference between good and evil. You choose good. This is too late at night. He's going to think I'm crazy. And then again, you call this person and you tell him he knows the difference between good and evil, and he is to choose good. Well, on the third time I gave up, I called him, which surprised me he even answered the phone. And I said, hey, God says, you know the difference between good and evil, and you better choose the good. That's what you're supposed to know. I'm going to bed. Actually, I'm going to go back to sleep now. It's all in your court. And I hung up. Months later, if not a year or two later, he was talking to me. He said, I was getting ready to do something. I mean, and I said, yeah, he goes, and I wouldn't have answered the phone, but it was your number, and I thought, something's up, because you wouldn't call me. he was thinking somebody must have died. And I, he goes, so I answered it, and you said, choose good. And he goes, I was like, okay. And he says, I just got up and I walked right out of the house. And he said, that saved me from a lot of trouble. And I'm going, yes! I looked really smart then. You know, yes, instead of looking stupid. But he knew to choose good. And that's what God said. Call and tell him. He knows to choose the good. And he did. He walked out and he chose the good. It is a pity today that more people in this world do not choose the good. Most people choose the evil. They prefer the evil over the good. And that's why broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the gate to life. Most people will choose bad. They will choose the evil. The person I called was a Christian, is Christian, professed Christian, and had accepted Christ and all that good stuff. But still, there he was, put off the old man, put on the new guy, and you know, it might not be a bad idea if once in a while we just call up people randomly on the phone. There used to be that movie called, and they just did it as a joke, I Know Who You Are, and I Know What You Did. And there's a whole movie based on that. Maybe we should call people up and just say, God told me to tell you, you know the difference between good and evil. You choose good. Have a good day. Hang up. Maybe that would shock people into considering it. But we are newly created in the image of the one who created us, which is Jesus Christ. He's a new guy. We could get into that, which would be an interesting talk to. But if you'll let me flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, ties in nicely with this. In the idea of we're to be going into His image and progressing in that way, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So, if we're in the image of Him, God created us as His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, so that's the one who we're supposed to be becoming like, for good works. And this will raise the question, because that's what says we are created in His image. Colossians says we are to be like that image. And we are to be doing good works. So the question is are we, are I, are you doing good works? But they're not just random good works. Part of them can be random. But it says they are good works that are prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So there's good works which God has prepared for us to do. And I've always been fascinated after Wilma said, isn't it interesting God had prepared the fish before Jonah got thrown into the water? And then since that time I hear people have picked up that idea and been saying, God has everything prepared for us if we will avail ourselves. The things are there and they're prepared for us to use, to do, to accomplish. And there are specific good works that God has prepared for us to do. So it comes back to the question, are we doing those good works? Are we doing the good works that He prepared us to do? And so, in closing, we're going to come to this conclusion. And only you can answer this, so don't stick your hand up. And this applies to me just as much as it does anybody else in this room. Since we have put on the new man, since you have put on the new man, since I put on the new man, can you tell that you are becoming more like Christ? Can you tell it? Do you see things in your life or events in your life or promptings in your life and you're doing them and you realize, I am doing and I am being more like Christ? The image of Christ is what? And I'm throwing in the word actively. He actively cared about people. And truthfully, love is not fuzzy, it's not mushy. It is the choice of showing caring towards somebody. Whether they deserve it or not, that's beside the point. Are we actively caring, showing care? Are we actively showing kindness? Are we actively trying to, not trying, are we actively helping people? Are we actively forgiving people? Are we actively promoting other people? And when I say promoting, I don't mean voting. I vote for them to do this. But rather, promoting. Are we doing things that help them to come up from one level to a higher level? Are we doing any of that? Those are just some of the basics. If we're not doing that, then are we truly becoming more like Christ? And he said, that is the reason you're saved, is to do those good things just like Jesus and actively be accomplishing this, because these are things that are prepared for us to do. And if we're not, then we're back to that verse before in Colossians. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Then we need to say, okay, it's time for me to lay aside those. Some of us, including myself in the past, I've laid aside those, but I didn't pick up the active part and start doing the things that the image of Christ, that Christ is requiring of us. I'm just up here talking. No, right at this point. The two scriptures was Colossians chapter 3, 9 and 10, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That's all of them in a lump. The rest of it was ramblings by Doyle. Yeah, Ephesians. I don't know what I said, but Ephesians 2:10.
Colossians first, but it's Ephesians.
Thank you.